Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 16th of July, recording at 9:55 p.m., and that's British summer time, and a very hot summer it is as well. Now, what's going on here? Let's take stock markets, and I'll ask the question, what's been the big fundamental driver here, in your opinion? Well, in my opinion, it is exceptionally stimulative monetary policy, which continues. Now, this is having only a limited effect on the global economy to date, but we are only just beyond the 5.5 years since the credit crisis recession reached its nadir for some economies at year-end 2008. And as we know, that credit crisis recession lasted a good deal longer for some countries, including most of Europe and resources producers, which are still in trouble. Now, the inform stock markets, led by Wall Street and also Japan, are short-term overbought. And Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke is speaking to Congress tomorrow. Now, I have no idea what he's going to say, but he'll probably want to, walk a tightrope without exciting people too much. But the markets will be following this, or certainly on Wall Street, they'll be following this with keen interest. So there's a possibility that could leave to a little bit of volatility here tomorrow. Now, the earnings season continues, and I think the three big ones today were Coca-Cola, Goldman Sachs, and Johnson & Johnson. I think Johnson & Johnson was largely unchanged. Coca-Cola fell quite sharply after its earnings came out, but then regained about two-thirds of those declines. Goldman's earnings increased, but it still fell back a little bit here. And to my mind, that's in line with the short-term overbought condition that we have here generally. Now, looking at other stock markets, Japan was up today, so we had modest gains in Australia. China, we had modest gains, modestly steady there. But a number of weaker markets, and those include South Korea and India, fell here today, gave up. India's been on quite a good run recently, but gave some of that up, a little bit of that up today. Also down, Malaysia, Thailand. Jakarta just nudged out a small gain, and New Zealand and the Philippines were also lower. The European stock markets all had modest declines, and nothing reaching 1% that I can see. Now, in the Americas, some of the bombed out markets have steadied up a little bit. Brazil is one of them, had a good day yesterday and started weaker here today, but then actually moved to the plus side. So whether that's short covering or some bargain hunting in that sector, certainly it looks quite oversold. On the other hand, I mentioned that Wall Street was overbought. We had a modest decline in here today. Also, Canada and Mexico were down. Actually, Mexico's decline was bigger; it was down 1.64%. But the U.S. declines were in the order of 0.25%. Long-dated government bond prices have edged a little bit higher in here right now. Looking at the charts of the yields, which I think is the best way to view those, you know how significantly the yields had pushed upwards over the last 2 months. And those patterns have lost upside momentum. One's been hearing that Bill Gross has been buying bonds once again and feels that we're at a at least a short-term high, and that's probably right. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we have a short-term peak, or a peak of at least short-term significance. Might last several months in those bond prices, but in terms of the big trend picture, we have to remember that these yields are trading above base formations, and it looks very much as if that 31-year plus bull market in long-dated government bonds is over, so that means that yields are going to be pushing higher. But over the very short term, they may ease a little lower before the next move to the upside. What could change that? Well, if Ben Bernanke is more aggressive tomorrow in terms of the possibility of quantitative easing, but that would surprise me, and I think it would surprise most people. My guess is that the Fed chairman is very anxious to, very keen to get out on a high in here and not roil the markets before he resigns from office, goes back to Princeton. Now, elsewhere, the U.S. dollar, you remember what a tear it had been on for most of the two previous months, and but it has fallen sharply here over the last couple of weeks, and that continued today with the U.S. dollar index back down to below 82.5. It was up over 85 a couple of just last week. And among other currencies, what have we seen? The Australian dollar is pushed against the US, is pushed back up to 0.9252. Sterling up to 151.56. The euro a little bit firmer, up to 131.59. Basically, we've got a lot of ranging taking place overall. When I look at the long-term charts, it looks as if the U.S. dollar is in a base-building stage. That makes sense. First, it had a long bear market, and the base-building, I think, reflects. And these base building periods for the dollar have usually taken quite a long time, several years. But this one, I think, reflects its advantages of cheap energy, its technological lead, and the very strong autonomies, which the United States has more of them in its economy than any other. Now, I've mentioned those factors on numerous occasions, but they are hugely important, I think, both for the medium and longer term overall. But really, I don't expect the dollar to be taking off in here. And as a matter of fact, since confidence in stock markets has picked up as the rally has progressed, that's a contrary indicator, by the way, as you all know, some of that money that had retreated to the dollar for safety reasons has been coming out. So mostly we have ranging currencies overall. But the biggest development this year, as you know, has been the weakness of the yen. That hasn't changed a whole lot in the last couple of months, but earlier in the year it was certainly important, and that put a lot of pressure on other Asian countries to allow their currencies to slip somewhat, but not China. China's currency has remained firm so far. Now, elsewhere, in the commodity markets, precious metals are a little bit firmer here. The best rally's been in palladium, and that's really quite a standout relative to the others, and it's on supply concerns. Now, platinum, there's some concern over supply, but not so much as palladium coming out of the Soviet Union. But platinum may be seeing a downside failure. It hasn't risen strongly enough or persistently enough really to confirm that, but it is a possibility. However, the rallies in gold and silver, while they have continued to edge up a little bit further, silver is currently trading just under $20. Gold bullion is at 1292. They have the look of short covering about them overall, and there's a fair amount of nervousness in the market given the still large ETF positions in gold bullion. And then there's the concern that we may see some liquidation from the Paulson Fund if some of their holders start to move away. Elsewhere in the commodity markets, the industrial metals were a little bit firmer. Actually, most commodities are a little bit firmer in here today. That's a change from what we've been normally seeing this year. And these industrial metals are oversold and probably trying to build some support. Positive indicator, perhaps, for the sector. We had some decent gains by Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton. Those are the two class large miners here overall, and I would expect them to lead any significant recovery move in the industrial metals over the medium term. As I say, the shares would almost certainly lead it. And on that note, all the very best during this hot but very exciting summer in terms of British sport. Take care.